This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
I've got to take this thing to a level that has never been accomplished before.
You got to get off Nick Saban's job.
The only black leprechaun I ever saw in my life. Anybody that's got little in front of their name and is a midget wrestler, I love them. I'm a hermit.
Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head.
Okay, Virto, I'm not shocked that we're here going into a game six with Houston up 3-2. I am shocked that Houston is able to win a game against Golden State where James Harden goes 0 of 11 beyond the arc and 5 of 21.
Shocking, but, you know, I mean, there's been a formula for being able to beat the Rockets, or I'm sorry, the Warriors over the course of the last, you know, several years now. Now, teams have not done it to the success rate that they've been able to win 4 out of 7 games, but whether it was the Grizzlies or whether it was Oklahoma City or whether it was Cleveland, who's the one team that did beat them, if you can make them uncomfortable, get physical with them, and somehow, you know, hold them in a range where they're playing under 100 points, if you can play them in a game in the 90s, you've got a chance. And, you know, you're going to come down to who makes big plays at the end, and obviously they've been able to do that twice in a row. You know, what you can't allow is for them to be getting comfortable, achieve their 300 passes a game that they want to get, let their offense home along, because you're never going to play their way and outscore them. But what you might be able to do, which I got to give Houston a lot of credit. I did not think that they were the team. You know, people said they were built to beat the Warriors, meaning they could beat them, you know, with a, quote, barrage of threes and beat them 126 to 124. And I never believed that. What I did not think they were built to do is play them a game in the 90s, like some of those other teams that have, you know, slowed it down and held them to such a low percentage. But credit to their defense. It's been unbelievable.
We have one listener who just tweeted in, Gator Smoke, who says, who wants to see Boston versus Houston? The answer is no one. All the talk will be about who's not there. Do you feel like that everyone wants to see LeBron in Cleveland against Golden State again?
I mean, the ratings typically say that that's true. You know, that the superstars draw the most eyeballs. But Boston-Houston would be a great series, and you would have to give them credit. I mean, you know, the theory was that Boston did, you know, has made moves with being able to beat LeBron in mind. And you just look at who they've drafted, these long athletic wings that they can throw at him. And the same thing goes, Houston's made absolutely no bones about it. You know, their entire existence is based upon building something that could beat the Warriors. And so you'd have to give those teams credit if they were able to, you know, stop in what seemingly is an inevitable finals for the last 4 years. I wouldn't hate that series at all. I hate watching Houston play, but I love watching Boston. Love them.
Last night, coming out of commercial break, Steve Kerr, they show one of the mic'd up segments, is telling Kevin Durant, and it was a long clip of Kerr telling him about when I was with Michael and he would trust his teammates. You've got to trust your other teammates. And then from that point forward, it was like Durant disappeared. What happened? What did they do something defensively to take Durant down? What did you think of Durant in the fourth quarter?
No, it's just they have been able to jump those passing lanes and to take them away from typically you would see these 4 and 5 pass possessions almost always. When they were getting a lot of passes, it was usually on a break. But in terms of passes within their offense, they weren't getting a lot, and they forced them into a lot of isolation basketball. And so Durant is just playing that isolation game. You know, he looks across the way, and that's what Harden and Paul do virtually every possession, maybe one pass. And they kind of duped Golden State into playing that way. And so that's why Kerr was saying what he was saying. And so now he's playing this, you know, go to hell ball where he's just, you know, Kobe and he's Harden and he's Mr. Isolation. And so he gets in his head, hey, you need to be passing. And so all of a sudden it's like, hey, maybe I'm the reason. You know what I mean? It starts to feel like you're the reason that the team isn't functioning offensively as it should because you're taking the early shot or you're just playing isolation basketball. And so I think it probably got in his head a little bit, honestly. Like, it, you know, obviously, you know, listen, Kerr was trying to elicit a response that would get that offense humming along. Instead, it certainly, it did not reap great benefits in terms of the results that Durant had post the speech.
Verno, Houston would not be in this situation without Eric Gordon. He's been tremendous, as he has been the entire year off the bench. But the guy that, I think has got a ton of upside that I've been a big fan of all year, and I wanted to get your take on Clint Capela.
Oh, well, I mean, Capela was obviously a major, major reason that they knocked off Utah in the manner that they did. I mean, and this series, it seemed like they were able to, with Draymond, pull him all the way away from the basket. Now what you're seeing is what a lot of teams have done over the years, whether it was Cleveland back in the day or others. It's just like, all right, if he's going to take an open three, then he's going to take an open three. But what we're not going to do is send our guy all the way out there to guard him that far away from the basket, because that's when they could render Capela, I don't want to say irrelevant, but they could certainly neutralize what he brings to the table, which is a guy that's like, he's going to alter stuff and he's going to protect the rim. And between, you know, they got a lot of, he plays with toughness, and they got a bunch of tough guys. Like, he's super tough, and obviously Ariza's tough, P.J. Tucker's tough. And so those guys, you know, that's the surprising thing. I think everybody thought they were going to outscore if they could win, but they're just, like, out-fighting the Warriors. They look like the team that hustles harder.
Chris Vernon's with us on the Jocks Roundtable every day at this week. Loves it. I love his NBA insight. And I want to ask you, your gut feeling on LeBron, if they were to lose tonight or in Boston coming up for Game 7, is this it for him in Cleveland? And I know it has nothing to do with the outcome, but do you feel like this is his last ride of carrying a Cavalier team with lesser than parts through the playoffs?
I think it could be his last game in Cleveland, even if they win, or his last games, as it were. Even if they win. Number one, I do not think he's going to lose a Game 6 at home against Boston. Boston has been miserable on the road and amazing at home. And so what is there to think that that trend would change? It's going to come down to what the options are, right? Are my options playing with an infinitely better supporting cast? And that very well may be true. If he could, you know, we know he can recruit other guys, and you know other guys would be willing to play with him. And so I've kind of always thought, I don't know, I've always thought that he's going to be in L.A. next year, some way, somehow, either with the Lakers or the Clippers, depending on how they, you know, the teams would be able to pull it off. But he's got the two houses out there. It seems like he's super into this multimedia thing. His mom and his wife don't want him in Cleveland anyway, never did want him in Cleveland again, because they'll never forgive Dan Gilbert. And so I kind of feel like we would go into, you know, what would be phase four of his career, which is wherever he rides off into the sunset, because he's just been doing one-year contracts with Cleveland, you know, every single year.
Verno, the Michael Jordan Bulls of the 90s, it was a sure thing. We knew before the season that they were going to win an NBA championship. What is the closest thing to a sure thing in sports right now?
The closest thing to a sure thing, I guess the Patriots in the playoffs. I mean, that would be that's my immediate reaction.
Yeah, I mean, and Golden State, I would have said in the NBA Finals until all of a sudden a 3-2 deficit.
Yeah, but like, when are the Patriots not in the playoffs? Hell, they're in like the AFC Championship every year, aren't they?
Yeah.
So, I mean,
that's one we cited. We cited that, Alabama, Clemson in football, Golden State in basketball.
I'm serious. When was the last time the Patriots weren't in the playoffs?
When Tom Brady went down week one and Matt Castle was the starting quarterback and they still went 11-5.
10-6, right? I think it's 10-6.
Yeah, I think it was 10 wins.
What year was that?
Oof.
Matt Castle's retired.
Yeah. I mean, that had to have been over 10 years ago.
Right? When was the last time they weren't in the playoffs?
But that was it.
2008.
Okay, so it was a decade ago.
Yep, and LT's right. They were 11-5.
Okay, so that would be my answer.
Can you imagine going 11-5 and not getting in the postseason?
Good grief. No. I mean, there were that many 12-4s and 13-3s?
Apparently.
I'm fact-checking right now, yes.
I mean, that's incredible. Obviously, there's less parity then than there is now, right? Because, I mean, we see teams jump up every year. Hell, the Jaguars were, you know, close to the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah, I mean, the Jags and the Rams were both awful in 16 and both really good in 17.
Yeah, but we've seen all manner of teams over the years, like, miss the playoffs, right? Like, we've had playoffs without Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, and we've had playoffs without so many of these teams that have been good over the course of the last several years. We've seen them without, you know, even the Seahawks who have been there, but geez.
They got caught in tiebreaker hell is what happened. They ended up 11-5. The Dolphins were 11-5. Dolphins won the tiebreaker for the division. The Steelers won the North at 12-4. The Titans won the South at 13-3. And the Chargers won the West at 8-8. The wild card, the Colts were 12-4, a wild card. And then the last wild card was decided between the Patriots and Ravens, both 11-5, and the Ravens won the tiebreaker.
How about a friggin' 12-4 wild card?
How about that?
How about an 8-8 division winner?
Yep.
I mean, you could be a 7-9 wild card now, or what was it? 2 years ago was what, 7-8-1? I think.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah, Seattle. Like,
team didn't even have a winning record. 12-4 was one of the wild cards.
Yeah. How about the Jets? Oh, the Jets were 9-7 in 2008. And were eliminated with 2 weeks to go from even having a chance with the wild card. That's how far out of the wild card race they were.
That is insane. The Dolphins went 11-5.
Yep. Won the division.
Who was their quarterback?
Oh, Jay Freely maybe, or Jay Feely.
When the hell did the? Oh, I guess it's over a decade ago. I mean, I can't remember. That's incredible. I honestly, like, I mean, if we were sitting in, like, a trivia and you said the last time the Dolphins made the or whatever.
You would have said Dan Marino, right?
No, last time they won 11 games and made the playoffs, their quarterback was.
I would have.
So look it up before I get off the air, because that's going to drive me crazy.
I believe it was Chad Pennington.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Mackerel. Chad Pennington? That's incredible. 11-5 Dolphins. You want to talk about a team I don't remember?
the 2008.
The only reason I remember it is because the Patriots didn't get to the postseason.
Well, and you've got those, even those other years where there was a good team in the division, it was the Jets, right? Because they made the AFC Championship game those years during the Sanchez years with Rex Ryan there. But, like, you don't even remember somebody else being really good in that division. I mean, they've pretty well owned that thing. For so long have the Patriots, because the Bills haven't done anything typically, and neither have the Dolphins or the Jets for the most part, except for that one run in like the low 2000s.
Can you?
Where the Jets made those championships.
Dolphins head coach in 2008.
Who?
Tony Sperano.
Yep, that's who it was. How about that?
Tony Sperano was the coach, and Chad Pennington was the quarterback.
An 11-5 division winner.
Yep.
Maybe a little underrated.
He was really good his first year in New York, or first couple of years.
You know what he is? He was before his time, because he was a guy that didn't throw picks. And now that's all anybody wants.
And he was dink and dunk, didn't have an arm, but you're right, did not turn the football over.
Yeah, he didn't throw picks. How about him going to a team and going 11-5?
Yep. That was his first year.
Within the division, too. Boy, I bet the Jets took some heat on the back pages for that, huh? I don't even remember this.
The lost years of Chris Vernon.
Yeah, I want to say Chad Pennington. This is going to sound crazy, Verno, and I don't have this officially, but I want to say he's one of the most accurate quarterbacks in NFL history.
He was good at Marshall, too.
Well, and he is. You know, it's funny because – wrapping this all back around to when you first introduced me, I heard you playing that quote about Bristol with Phil Fulmer.
Yep.
Phil Fulmer, I think I remember doing this years ago. You know, this whole idea of putting a fence around Tennessee. Pennington is one of, like, maybe two, like, almost ever in the Phil Fulmer era that left, that went somewhere besides Tennessee and turned out to be awesome. Like, he was from Tennessee.
It was from Knoxville.
Yeah, well, not just Tennessee, from Knoxville, Tennessee.
Hey, by the way, Verno, 66% career completion percentage in the NFL for Chad Pennington.
I mean, that's like a dream for these guys now, right?
I mean, there was two years he was at 69%.
Dude, what did Alex Smith just get, like $100 million?
Yeah.
Chad Pennington's got to be like, geez, if I was playing now, would they pay me $200 million? It's like, that's the thing with Alex Smith. You know, he just doesn't throw picks. Somehow not throwing picks can make you $100 million now. That's crazy.
And that's Chris Vernon. By the way, T. Martin was the quarterback, and Peyton Manning were the quarterbacks while Chad Pennington didn't go to Tennessee. So
yeah, right. So you get a pass on that.
You get a pass. One is Peyton Manning. The other wins a national championship for you. So that's why he left Knoxville.
Like, during his tenure there, you never saw a kid leave the state of Tennessee and go somewhere else. Like, that was awesome. It never happened.
Yep.
Like, he owned the friggin' state.
But they had a quarterback from New Orleans and a quarterback from Mobile, Alabama at the time. So the kid from Knoxville went to Marshall.
Hey, there was one that did, and his name was Albert Means, and we know how that is. The first guy that was going to not go to Tennessee. That's where that all came from, you know, remember?
Yeah, I do.
Logan Young and Roy Adams, you know, these were bigwigs in Memphis, and Logan was so tired of every kid going to Tennessee. He's like, hell no, nah, you ain't going to Tennessee. And everybody associated with you is taken care of.
Where college football never ends.
The kick is good! Auburn wins! 22-19! The Auburn Tigers are on top of the college football world.
The Jocks Roundtable with LT, Dunaway, and Brown.